I feel something in this place today. And I know you do too. Aren't you grateful for the presence of the Lord? That's why we come. And so glad Brother Aaron shared that, to know that what we do here matters. And I'm glad that the children are feeling it as well. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to read some scripture this morning from the book of Mark, if you want to be turning there. I just found out this morning from the middler class that they put water up here for me in the pulpit, and I didn't know about it till this morning. So today was one of those days where I needed to get a sip before we get into the message today. And I will let you know in advance that I feel a heavy burden upon me this morning, and the message is going to be a little bit different, maybe strange in some ways, but I feel like the Lord wants to speak to us, speak to somebody, and my prayer is that there would be a spirit of conviction among us today. And the challenge of the preacher is to always be conscious of the fact that though we want a direct impact of our message in every service on every soul, the reality is that a lot of times, amen, there are people that should have been here and could have been here that aren't here, but they will be accountable for the things that they could have and should have heard. I know that that may not be readily clear to everybody, but the book of Romans makes it very clear to us that God is speaking in many different ways. Even the heavens declare His glory, but people don't look up. Amen. God is speaking His word, but they don't listen. Amen. And that accountability is going to be a dreadful day. Let's stand together this morning and read in Mark chapter 5 from a very interesting story in the life of Jesus, a dramatic story. Mark chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse number 7, though I will go back and try to capture a few of the facts leading up to this. But Mark chapter 5, verse number 7, says, and cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "And what is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. In parentheses here, they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. There's more to the story. We'll get to that. More before this, and we'll get to that. But what I want to draw your attention to is this strange description of what happens among these swine in verse number 13, where they ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And I want to try to preach to you this morning on going downhill fast. Going downhill fast. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that we have felt in this service today. And we thank you, Lord, for the power and anointing of your word. And we ask now that you would give us understanding of these words and help us to make application to our lives and be aware of the possibilities, O Lord, that these imply. We pray for the spirit of conviction to deal with somebody that may be heading in the wrong direction this morning, Lord, that you would speak to them, draw them, and pull upon their soul. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. Amen. And everybody say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I sometimes, or oftentimes, see things in a strange way when I'm reading the scriptures, and here is an incident that makes my point today, that this description of these unclean spirits asking for permission of Jesus not to be ran out of the country, but rather to be relieved to go into this nearby herd of swine, and Jesus grants this request, and we see visibly the results of what happens here, and it's pretty dramatic here. How many of you have read this story before? Amen. Many of you, most of you Bible readers have, and we've heard preaching on it. We know to celebrate the outcome of this story, which we will. But I want to try to point out a couple of things here this morning that are in my mind as I read this description of this herd of swine running violently down a steep place. Amen. Going downhill fast. Have you heard that phrase before? Going downhill fast. It's a pretty descriptive term, and I don't know that it originated here. But in my mind this morning, when I read this, I see a description that may aptly fit the condition of our nation today. Amen. I'm worried about the United States of America. I'm praying for revival. How about you? Amen. But when I read and see and pay attention to the political climate of our country, I worry that we may be going downhill fast. When I understand something of the economics, which I don't know a lot about, but I read something about the economy and the economic conditions and the jitters and the fears that some leading economists have, and I worry that we may be on a downward trend and we may be going downhill fast. Amen. My concern also is concerning not just the nation, but the condition of the church world around the country today. I'm not meaning to be judgmental with this statement, but the reality is not all churches that are gathered together on this Sunday morning are feeling the same thing that we've been feeling here today. Some of them have sold out, amen, to the wokeism of the world. Churches that have sold out to the wokeism of the world. Churches that have denied the moving of the Holy Ghost. Churches who have denied the preaching of the power of the blood and cross of Jesus Christ. The preeminent foundation of the church being denied by many churches. That ought to be worrisome to us today. Many of them going downhill fast. But I'm worried also about the possibility that this term might apply to us as individuals or families, maybe even among us here today, though I have tried very hard not in my mind to try to apply it to anybody specifically. I don't know who it might apply to specifically in this building, in this congregation here this morning, except that I feel this burden upon my heart to grant some caution, some word of warning, some idea of the possibility that making decisions that take us away from God may start a series of events that cause things to snowball and pick up speed and move us in a direction that we really may not fully understand at first, and with a momentum that we might not have anticipated, and suddenly find ourselves, amen, going downhill, amen, at a rapid speed in the wrong direction. May God help us here today. I want to try to point out a couple of things here as we read this story. We see immediately the sadness of the story. Amen. I jumped into the middle of it here, but in the earlier verses, chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, we see that Jesus has barely arrived in this place called Gadara, the country of the Gadarenes, the scripture says in verse number 1. And he's barely got his feet in the soil of this place, and suddenly he is face to face with a spiritual battle, a struggle, a man. One man who is so demonic oppressed and possessed that his appearance is frightening. I was thinking and leaning at first to make my first point about the scariness of this story. But I read on and I saw that there's a sadness to this story that I think we need to focus on. Yes, it's scary. This man is possessed. This man has been untamable. This man has been driven from the normal family structure, driven from town. He's living out in a cemetery. He's made his dwelling among the tombs, the Bible says here. And as we look closer, we see the dangling remains of chains upon his wrist and the broken pieces of ropes around his ankles, maybe even around his midsection, the many attempts that have been made to restrain him and to control him. This is a man whose life is completely out of control. And the scripture says here, he was bound often with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. This man is a wild man. He's out of control. He's inhumanly strong, and every attempt to restrain him has failed. It's a scary scene, but it's also a sad scene because verse 5 says, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. The word crying leaps out to me. Later on, verse number 7, he cries with a loud voice, cries out to Jesus, and that word cry takes on a different meaning. To cry in one form is to say loudly or to try to get the attention of someone, to cry out. But here in verse 5, it is in the emotional sense. He is literally crying. Here is a broken man, and his brokenness is represented not just by the chains and fetters around about him, but the tears that are running down his face. This man is a broken man. I see him crying and cutting himself, and the tears and the tears upon his flesh is sad to me. The condition that people get themselves in when they're far away from God. Friend, I want to tell you that it is a pleasure to live for Jesus, isn't it? It is a pleasure to be a Christian, a blessing. It is a blessed life to live for the Lord. And sometimes the world looks at us and laughs, and they think that we have just surrendered ourselves to these unreasonable demands and these Old Testament laws, and that somehow we're the ones that are bound. And I want to say, oh no, amen, friend, what you need to do is in the midnight, look at yourself in the mirror and count the tears flowing down your face and realize the brokenness of your life, the broken dreams, the broken plans, the broken marriages, the broken relationships, and realize that yours is the sad story. And as long as you continue to live out there under the domination of the devil, it only gets sadder. Amen. The sadness of this story captures my attention here. Oh, and can I interject here? This man cutting himself, the demonic influence within him causing him to cut himself with stones. Is it a coincidence that we are hearing more and more stories of teenagers and young people, even public school reports of young people coming to school with broken flesh and marks upon their arms where they themselves themselves have been cutting themselves with knives, not going all the way through as if to commit suicide, to bleed to death, but leaving marks upon their flesh that indicate that they are very unsatisfied with themselves. They hate themselves, and maybe even a little bit. Preliminary illustration that they would like to die. Amen. That's the condition of the world today. And I tell you, it's a very sad, sad story that we're seeing enacted before us today. But I also want to show you an aspect of this story that stands out to me that may be a little strange, but I'm going to call it the sermon of the swine in this story. Amen. The sermon of the swine. Now, you might not think of pigs as preachers. I'm going to restrain myself from reversing that just a little bit. But we don't look at the hogs in the barnyard as potential preachers, but I believe that here in this story we see, amen, that there is a herd of swine that are going to be preaching to us a sermon this morning. And here's how the events unfold that I think is a lesson for us to be learned. Let me just pause for a moment to say that I openly admit this is a strange story in so many details here. I don't understand why Jesus grants these demons their request and gives them permission. I don't understand why he allows for the destruction of this entire herd of 2,000 pigs. And I don't understand how it is that demons can be transferable from humans to animals. These are questions that come to my mind, but in spite of all of that, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all scripture is given for in samples and examples unto us, and there are lessons to be learned. Ink is not wasted here. Everything that is recorded, you know, the book of John tells us there was much more that Jesus did, and the books, if it was written down, the books could not contain it all. So the things that did make it in this book have made it here for a reason, and there are lessons to be learned. Because I like illustrated sermons, and I often use illustrated sermons at youth camps and kids camp and occasionally in a regular service. And for that reason, I really like Brother Brad's message on Wednesday night because he's an illustrative preacher also. I like that. But can I say that I believe that Jesus is also an illustrative preacher? He illustrates with parables, his most famous storytelling type illustration. But is it possible that he uses the events that happen around about him as illustrations to us as well? And I think if that's true, then here's the illustration. Amen. This herd of swine, amen, are suddenly affected by a disturbance that happens in their normal, everyday pig life. All right, y'all with me here? And I know that some of these comments may be laughable, but I'm not losing sight of the fact that I have a burden upon me today to warn someone about the possibility of going downhill fast. How does it begin? Amen. How does it begin? It begins with the scene. The Bible says specifically that this great herd of swine was feeding on the hillside, just doing what pigs do on an everyday basis, just eating, just existing, just living a hog's life. And suddenly a disturbance begins to happen among them. I don't know how long a period of time this takes, but something not normal is interfering with their normal normal life and routine. There is the invasion of spiritual forces. There is the arrival of spiritual powers. These demons have been transferred now under the name of Legion, for that was the name when Jesus asked, "What is your name?" The man's voice spoke, but the answer was, My name is Legion, for we are many. This man had a lot of demons inside of him. And when Jesus released them and they go over there to the herd of swine, something begins to change in their demeanor. Something begins to change in their routine. I'd like to suggest to you today that maybe this illustration of what happens in the swine is what happened to this man who became demon possessed. Maybe there was a time when life was normal for him, that he had a family, that he worked a job, he had a routine. He got up in the morning, got ready for the day, went on his way, did his job, came home, and lived a normal existence. But something began to happen in him that disturbed his normal routine. And that disturbance is going to be affecting the way that he looks at things and considers things. And maybe this disturbance turns into a dissatisfaction. A dissatisfaction with the present surrounding, and he's going to begin to move away from it. The disturbance turns into a dissatisfaction. Only moments ago, the pigs are perfectly content on the side of the hill, and then in a few minutes, they're jumping off a cliff into the sea. What happens? I don't know that I can prove that the pigs mentally were suddenly dissatisfied with where they're at, but if this is an illustrative message, then possibly this man becomes dissatisfied with his present condition. Can I interject here? Amen. If suddenly you are finding yourself dissatisfied with your surroundings, dissatisfied with everything, dissatisfied with everyone, including your family, including your marriage, concerning your job, your career, something, some disturbance is making you dissatisfied, making you discontent. You're feeling this urge to move on, to move in a different direction. I'm not talking about God moving you. You understand the difference, right? I'm talking about some influence in your life that you know. You have an awareness that this is a move in the wrong direction. Amen. A distemper of attitude begins to take over. A distemper of attitude. That means not only dissatisfied now, but angry, upset, bitter, and lashing out. You say, Brother Blue, how do you get that from this story? It's found in that word violent. Amen. The herd ran violently down the hill. Amen. Something has made these otherwise benign creatures suddenly become violent. They ran violently down the hill. It implies here speed, of course. They're going to run fast down the hill. But I'm wondering if it also implies their temper, their temperament. They're not only running in a certain direction, but maybe they're biting on one another as they go, bumping into one another as they go. They are out of control. The same description of that man in this story takes over them. They're out of control. They are violent, and they are running violently down the hill towards the cliff. If that's true, then I believe that one thing will lead to the other. A disturbance of our tranquility can lead to a dissatisfaction with our surroundings, and a dissatisfaction with our surroundings can turn into a distemper of attitude. Anger, rebellion, pushing even against the people that love you the most, pushing against them that you are generally content to be around. But what's happening now? This shoving, this trampling, this selfishness that is taking over a person's life, that moves them in a direction that looks like they're about to go downhill fast. Are y'all praying for me this morning? Are y'all following with me just a few more minutes? Because I'd like to tell you that I believe that this is a visible display of what happens when we fall under the influence of evil. Amen. I think that that's why our country has reached a point where nowhere seems to be safe. Children ought to be safe in a schoolroom. We ought to be safe driving down the highway in our own vehicle and not have to worry about a man on the hillside shooting at us. What's happening with the violence in our society? That's not even, those are the extreme ones that we hear about in the daily reports in the news. But every day in cities like I live near, St. Louis, every day, every night, there are murders, there are robberies, there are carjackings, there is gang activity. Y'all with me here this morning? I don't want to just preach a bleak picture on a Sunday morning, but the reality is something violent is disturbing the land. Something is going on here, and we need to be aware of, amen, the influence of evil that is causing it. I talked to a friend of mine yesterday, Brother Denver Shelton, a pastor down in North Carolina. And some of you that know him know that he had a terrible car accident earlier this year. And he described it to me again yesterday when we were talking. He said my son-in-law got access to the security cameras that were near that intersection. He said, I was just sitting there, two cars in front of me, stopped at a stoplight, minding my own business. But he said, of course, he knew what had happened, but to see it, here comes a big, Ford F-350 pickup truck with a fully loaded trailer, comes barreling down the road at 70 miles an hour and never paid attention to the traffic light, and the people stopped at the traffic light and plowed full speed ahead into the back of Brother Denver Shelton's car. He said, Brother Mike, I counted it out from the time I saw the vehicle come into the scene until the chaos stopped. 1, 2, 3, 4, and my life has changed forever. 70 miles an hour. Amen. He said, Brother Mike, you know what? I've learned and I recommend, he said, you need to check into your uninsured driver insurance and up it, because there are a lot of uninsured drivers on the road. There are a lot of people out on the highways that have no regard for laws, that have no regard for the safety of other people. Come on now, you with me? What is this disturbance that's causing people to just be totally out of control? No regard for safety, no regard for law, no regard for normal behavior. You say, oh, well, we've always had car accidents. I don't remember seeing what I saw this week driving towards home in St. Louis. A lot of traffic going on, and I saw this guy trying to get around. He was going to somehow squeeze in between everybody. We're all going 60, 65 miles an hour, but that's not fast enough for him. He wants to go faster, so he's over there in the fast lane, the third lane over, and he decides to pass on the shoulder between the concrete wall and the speeding cars beside him. Zoom, he goes on. Something's not right. The influence of drugs, lack of respect, the influence of evil. We're a society that's going downhill fast. But all of that illustrates the possibility of what might happen in our own life should we allow it to happen. The Sermon of the Swine, I believe, tells us a little bit about the direction. And that's where I draw your attention to. They ran violently down. Amen. They ran violently down. Amen. The direction of sin is always down. The direction away from God is always down, 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 down. That's the direction we see Jonah, who was a prophet of God, but when he turns and goes away from God, when he runs away from God, he goes down to Joppa. He goes down into the ship. He goes down into the belly of the whale, and then we read about him crying out to God down at the bottoms of the mountains, he said in chapter 2. Of Jonah, where literally he's as low as a man can go on planet Earth. He's down in the depths of the sea at the base of the mountains when he cries out, "Oh Lord, bring me up." Amen. Bring me up. Y'all with me this morning? You see the change of direction. If he's going to get right with God, it's going to be an upward direction. But as long as you go away from God, it's down, 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 down. Come on, friend. It's time to reverse directions. You know that the decisions you've been making and the things that have been happening inside of you are leading you in a downward direction. Not only do we read about the direction, but we read about the momentum. They ran violently, violently, speedily, running, amen, down the hill under the influence. They ran violently. And then the destination, of course, the destination is their destruction. The eventual outcome of this story is it all leads to destruction. I want to remind you what Jesus said concerning the devil, this evil that I'm referring to this morning. He said, the thief, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief, the devil, the enemy, the wicked one, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen, this is not something to be playing around with. This is not something to be messing around with. It's not just about how the fun and games that the world has to offer. This is an eternal decision. This has to do with the outcome of your eternal soul. This has to do with the destiny of your eternity and the people that you will influence along the way. This is an important matter. It's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to shake yourself and realize I'm going in the wrong direction and I'm going downhill and I'm picking up momentum, and I need to stop this. I need to get out of this and cry out, amen, for help along the way. Praise God. Which leads me to the third and final point, the main point of this whole story, amen, is the saving of a soul. The saving of a soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you remember what I told you about the crying and the crying out? The man was crying day and night, every day, every night, crying and cutting himself day and night, a miserable life. But when he cries out, amen, and he cries out to Jesus, Son of Man, have mercy upon me, cries out to Jesus, help me, calls out to Jesus, it's about to change, friend. Can I recommend to you today, cry out to Jesus. Get desperate with God. Tell him that you're sorry. Tell him you see the direction you're going in. You don't like the outcome of the choices you've made and you need his help. Cry out to Jesus today and let him help you. Can you say amen? This saving of a soul is the most important part of this story. It illustrates some things to us that I think are worth noting. First of all, lest we be tempted to cry over the loss of 2,000 pigs. Stop and think about this. One soul is more valuable to Jesus than a whole herd of swine. Come on now. Amen. I'm hearing people cry out for years now, save the whales. What we preachers are crying out is save the souls. Save the humans. Save those, amen, who are bound, oppressed, tormented, and lame. Cry out, Jesus, save a soul. It would be worth it today if one soul would get saved as a result of this service. Can you say amen? Praise God. years ago, was out in California visiting with my mom and dad. My dad took me over in an area that used to be a booming industrial area in Southern California and lots of jobs, but acres and acres now, buildings rotting away, buildings no longer used, surrounded by a big fence with signs on it, you know, no trespassing. And he said that all of this is because they found evidence in the sand of a rare extinct flea. Save the fleas. I say save the souls. Amen. And this is an illustration that to Jesus, one soul is more valuable than 2,000 pigs. Amen. Jesus wants to save. And he does. Jesus saves this man. Jesus delivers this man. He is so completely changed that in verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him. Now this is the owners of those that fed the swine and the people in the city. They come out to the country, and verse 15 says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed. They come to see him who was possessed. They knew his story with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Deliverance has come. Stand with me this morning. As the singers, musicians come to help us out here in the final minutes of our service. Brothers, is there any meeting scheduled after the service today? So we're going to come and pray and stay as long as you want to seek the Lord, and then when you're finished praying, you can be dismissed at will. But my burden, Brother Steve, is that someone would have a turnaround experience in their life. Someone who's been spiraling downward. Someone who knows that things aren't right, you're spiraling downward, would cry out to Jesus and have a turnaround experience in your life this morning. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Let's pray. God, we need you right now. We need you here today. Lord, I've tried to preach that which you've laid upon my heart and mind. And Lord, I pray now that you would speak it. Where I've only been able to speak to their ears, I pray that you would speak to people's hearts today. Cause them to realize, Lord, that it's you pulling upon them, reaching out to them, reminding them, Lord, that there's a better way, a better life. Help them today in Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, church, for being patient with me this morning in the delivery of this somewhat odd message. Maybe it'll be someone beyond this service that listened in online. I don't know. Except that I've had this heavy burden upon me. To reach for someone whose life may be at stake, whose family may be at stake, whose future is possibly being squandered by some foolish decisions being made right now. You keep going in this downward direction. It only picks up speed. Takes you farther away. Down towards a path of destruction. Why don't you call on Jesus this morning? Come on. If you feel like your life has been out of control, we want to pray with you. Ask Jesus to deliver you, change you, help you. As the church comes to pray, just step into the aisle with them and come up here to this place of prayer we call the altar and call on the name of the Lord. Lead the way, church. And let's all of us examine our heart and see Maybe there's someone in our life that we will feel led to reach out to talk to warn. Or maybe you that I think are perfectly fine, faithful. But recently some disturbance has been happening in your heart and mind that you know is turning into an unhealthy dissatisfaction. Pray about that today. Turn it over to Jesus before it becomes worse. This distemper in your attitude. Call upon Jesus this morning. Let's get to the root of it, the source of it. Lord, help us today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.